We're moving to wrap up the Limitless series. And if you've caught on to that play on words, congratulations. Because Sharina and I thought it was extremely funny that the Limitless series was concluding. Anyway, as we come to kind of a stopping point of our series, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please, which has been kind of the, not kind of, it has been the theme of this series. Words will be on the screen, and I'm just going to give you a little heads up that I am really messing with the sound room this morning, specifically Kristen on the words. So when I import, I'm preaching solely from my iPad today. There is no backup. There is no plan B. If it fails, we fail. So you better be praying that the iPad works. But in doing that, in my preparation, I ended up importing all of my verses in the ESV version of the Bible, and I read out of the NIV, and so the sound room, Kristen, does not know which version to put up on the screens because I will bounce back and forth from both of those. So if you see some discrepancies on the words on the screen and what I'm reading, it is no fault of them up there. It is all on me. You're welcome for keeping your brain engaged through the entirety of the service. We'll pretend that that was on purpose. Stand with me this morning, Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read the word of the Lord together. We're going to begin in verse 20. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Say amen. Amen. Pray with me now. Jesus, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the content of the series and what you have spoken to us. Now, God, as we have worshiped and partaken of the communion meal together, spent time in prayer, now we devote ourselves to the reading of the word, the breaking of the bread of life, as the Bible is called. We ask, God, that you would speak to us this morning and that our ears would hear what you are speaking, that our mind and our brain would be able to comprehend what you are speaking, and that our heart would be willing to receive what we are speaking. And then, God, that you would give us the courage to implement and to carry out what you are speaking to us. We thank you, God, for the power of your Holy Ghost. We thank you for the power of the anointing. I pray you would also give me the words to communicate and to verbalize what you have put on my heart and in my mind. Thank you, God, again for this time together. We ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Can you agree and say amen? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This will be the last time you have to stand up before you are dismissed. That ought to make somebody happy. Just a brief recap. Week one, we began this Limitless series talking about limitless prayer. And when we reduced it down to its simplest terms, we understood that prayer is simply this forward movement into genuine conversation with God. And genuine conversation only happens as a byproduct of genuine relationship. And so that is the context of prayer. God is longing for genuine relationship, and he is longing for genuine conversation. And so we do not need to be intimidated by this word called prayer. We do not need to be intimidated by prayer time or time that we spend in prayer. We don't have to be intimidated by that at all. It is simply genuine conversation with God. I want to give you a brief example. My family has kind of through a whirlwind of life events. Does somebody get what I'm implying by that? A whirlwind of life events. So let me take you through the whirlwind real quick. About a month ago, we found a leak in our roof. And so we're taking the steps to replace the roof. About 2 weeks after that, our water heater went out. Started leaking everywhere. I mean, everywhere. The upside is it was leaking in our garage, so I just let it leak for a few days until we could, you know, get another one. But that was pain in the neck. So I got the water heater replaced, and then I've got then we had all kinds of vibration in our water lines. Every time you would flush the toilet, it sounded like the whole house was coming down. Couldn't figure that out. I tried. I Googled it. I YouTubed it. I talked to anybody that I could talk to about it to see what would work. Nothing worked. Nothing figured out. And then last Wednesday, when we hit that 80 degree day, do you guys remember that beautiful day? Yeah, it stunk. My heat pump went out on that Wednesday. No heat, no air. Literally 87 degrees in my house when I got home from the office that day. And so, you know, sometimes life comes in a whirlwind and just stuff just comes right at you, right? The miracle in all this is that we've been able to take some, we had some dollars available and bought the water heater. Got that all fixed. Plumber friend of mine, I was talking to him about some problems. He said, hey, I want to send my brother out to do some work for you, and I'm not going to charge you a dime. Praise Jesus. So the lines don't rattle anymore. The valve that was broken is fixed. And so God is proving himself faithful. So we still got a couple big ticket items, but I'm saying all of this to say this, that I was walking down the hallway. How many of you have seen Little Rascals movie? Anybody admit to that? Raise your hand. There's a scene in that movie where Alfalfa is walking around in his underwear. I was not in my underwear. Alfalfa was walking around in his underwear. All kinds of bad stuff has happened to him. And Alfalfa says, I just felt like God looked down and said, I hate you, Alfalfa. That's kind of how I felt. And how many of you would be honest and say, you know, Eddie, I felt that way every now and then, right? And God spoke to me. And because I was just praying, I said, God, this is so overwhelming right now. I am so angry right now, and I'm frustrated, and everything's just kind of funneling in at once, and I'm trying to find the good, and it's difficult. And I'm just praying that you would provide and to be faithful. And God spoke to me and said, Eddie, my word says it rains on the just and the unjust. Be thankful I gave you an umbrella. I went, well, that's stupid. No, I didn't. I stopped in my hallway in front of the thermostat that showed 85 degrees in my house. And I just stopped with all the hustle and bustle around and said, God, okay, thanks for the umbrella. Things could have been so much worse. It could have been so much more bad things that could have happened. And so I'm thankful for the umbrella. Why do I say that? I say that to say this, that prayer, limitless prayer, sometimes works its way out when life is coming at you fast and crazy and you just have honest conversation with God and God just has honest conversation back. That's limitless prayer. So I digress there. I'm sorry. We'll get back on track. But if you think of me, pray that God will provide, okay? Thank you very much. Beautiful. Because God has and he will. Somebody say amen. 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 Limitless presence is what we talked about the week after that, kind of, in a limited form. God really blessed us with a very special moment last week as we just kind of basked in his presence. And if you listened to first service, you kind of got the context of the message. If you didn't, basically the message was God's presence is simply God's initiative to being present with his people. And what I did was I broke down two words. I broke down the word here, H-E-R-E, and the word present, and spelled out how actually they are very, very different. Here is just an incoherent, I'm here, like a roll call. Present is actually being involved in the conversation, involved in the place that you are at. It invokes being a participant of what's going on. And that related to God's presence in this way is that God's presence is God's invitation for us to be present with him, to be active and involved, to be actively engaged in what God is doing. It's not a matter of being here in God's presence with the idea that I'm just going to plop here. I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to check my name off the roll call slip and I was in God's presence. No, God's presence, limitless presence really means that you are here and you are present, that you are actively engaged in what God is doing and what God God is speaking and how God is responding and realizing that this is God's invitation, inviting his kids to be a part of who he is. And that was limitless presence. Well, today we come to limitless power. I was talking to my dad on the phone last night and just kind of spelling out what we were going to do. And I said, Dad, I feel kind of like an idiot. I feel like I've taken the three biggest concepts of the Bible and said, I'm going to tackle this in 3 weeks. It's like talking about our galaxy in relationship to all of the other galaxies and our universe and saying, yeah, our galaxy's big. Okay, let's go home. It's nice to know we live on planet Earth. Okay, we've talked about some really big theological, biblical concepts, and today is no different. Today we're talking about limitless power. We are talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll use both terms back and forth today, Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. What is limitless power? It is God's means of empowering his people to be witnesses for everything that he has done. When we talk about limitless power, when we talk about the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, essentially we are saying God has deposited into you the power and the courage to be a witness to everything that God has done in your life. That was the earmark of the first century church in Acts. That was the earmark of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what they spoke about was the great things of God, the goodness of God. Because the people around them say, we hear them speaking about the great things of God in our native tongue. And so the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is to witness to the great things that God has done. Are you tracking with me? Say amen if you are. Okay, maybe you're comatose and kind of asleep right now. Well, in the hospital, when you're unresponsive, you just have to blink twice for yes. So if that applies to some of you, please just blink twice that you're hearing what I'm saying, okay? At some point during the service, instead of saying amen, blink twice and we'll just call it good. All right. Limitless power. Let me illustrate it this way. When we started the series, I brought out my phone and I asked how many had one. And a few people raised their hand. So I'm going to ask you again, how many has one? How many have one? I'm going to grammar properly. Good. Almost nearly all of us have a cell phone. And we talked about this whole unlimited data thing, and I kind of set the whole series up that way. But now I want to illustrate what the Holy Ghost looks like, what the Holy Spirit looks like in the life of a believer. This phone right now, and I left it on here because it was wonderful. Right in the middle of preaching, when I pulled the phone out first service, my mom sent me a text. And it said, praying for you, love you much, Mom. So you can be grateful that my mom is praying for you right now, okay, or was praying for you earlier. But I look at my phone and I see that my battery meter is at 93%. Okay? Somebody pull out their phone. Tell me what your battery level is. Anybody? Sharina? 20? 20%. Huh? Is your battery dead? Okay, perfect. Stay off social media, Nathan. Anyway, no. His phone is dead. Sharina's is at 20%. Mine's at 93%. Anybody else? Okay. You get all those numbers? I'm deaf. I have hearing aids. I can't hear all you guys at the same time. But it's all the way across the board. We've got everything from nothing to something, right? And so we have this battery meter that tells us how charged our battery is and how functional our phone is. So I can right now go on to Facebook. And if I wanted to, take a selfie of all of us in here and post it to Facebook. Nathan could not do that. Ha, ha, ha. Because his phone is dead. And it does not function the way it is supposed to function. Now, every day, every night, when I go to bed, I go and I set my phone up on my dresser that's by my bed and I plug it into the wall. And it recharges the battery and I get it the next morning and we go do the things that we're supposed to do. So how does that relate to the power of the Holy Spirit? It relates this way. This right here is an outlet. And I stole this from the electrical room there. And how many of you know what this is? We plug stuff into this, right? And it gives you power for the things that you need in your home. This outlet is attached to, in some way, shape, or form, attached to the main power supply that is coming into the building. It is through this outlet that we're able to power tools and TVs and all the kinds of stuff that we see and all of the things like that. For the context of this morning, this outlet represents God. It is attached to the ultimate power source, and it is a means by which we have power. So this represents God. Now, on my phone, I have an iPhone, and so my charging mechanism is broke into a couple pieces. Not broke, but it's divided into a couple pieces. I have a USB adapter. How many of you have one of these? Maybe know what this looks like, right? So the power adapter, the USB adapter, has to plug into the plug, right? Now, we all know that my phone will not charge simply because the USB adapter is plugged into the socket, right? So the socket represents the work and the mediation of Jesus Christ, the second part of the Godhead. So we have God the Father as the socket, the outlet. We have God the Son, Jesus, as the USB adapter. And then we have this thing called the third piece of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And the way that works out for my phone is that I take this USB cord and I plug it in to the USB adapter. And then I take the USB adapter and I plug it into my phone. And if it was attached to power, it would begin charging my phone. The cord in the middle is the Holy Ghost. The cord in the middle is the Holy Spirit. It is attached to the Son, who is attached to the Father, who is attached to who is the ultimate power source, and it is what gives me the energy, the power to recharge the battery in this phone every single night. If I disconnect this at any level, that phone will never ever charge. If I disconnect the USB from the socket, I have disrupted the continuity of the flow to the battery. If I disconnect the USB cable from the rest of everything, I cannot expect the phone to be charged. I have interrupted the flow of power from the source to the device. The only way we keep the transmission of power, the only way we keep the continuity of power from the source to the device is for all of the pieces to be connected. That is how the Trinity works. That is how the Godhead works. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and me. That is how this works. So how does this apply in the context of what we're talking about today? The power of the Holy Ghost. Limitless power. The Holy Spirit keeps us connected to the source. And we must remain connected to the source if we expect our spiritual batteries to be recharged. That phone, referring back to Nathan's dead phone needs to be plugged into its charger in order to function the way the creator of the phone intended for it to function. In order for my phone to function the way it's supposed to function and do everything that it's designed to do, it has to be plugged in on an ongoing basis continually, or eventually the battery will drain, the battery will die, and this beautifully, wonderfully made device will sit on the shelf and accomplish nothing. Your life is the same exact way. If you disconnect that power flow on any level, if you disconnect that continuity of power, your spiritual batteries will drain. It will drain to the point of being dead, and you, this beautifully created individual, will never be able to function the way you were designed to function, because your battery is always running on 6 or 5. And I don't know about you, but when my phone gets down to 20% battery, it wants to run on low battery mode. You know what that means? It runs on the essentials just to keep it powered up and alive. The same applies to us. Some of us do not take time with the Holy Spirit to allow Him to recharge us, and we're running on minimal capabilities all of the time. And we wonder why the enemy has a foothold, and we wonder why we're not as happy as we should be and can't find the joy of the Lord as our strength. It's because we're disconnected and we're running on low power mode, and we're not operating in the way that God has designed us to operate. That is the function of the Holy Spirit. We have to stay connected to God, and the Holy Spirit makes that happen. The Holy Spirit makes that happen. So, if the Holy Spirit is that important, don't you think we should know about it? Don't you think we should learn about it? Don't you think we should have some knowledge about how the Holy Spirit works? So, what is the Holy Spirit? Rather, the right question is not what is the Holy Spirit. The right question is, who is the Holy Spirit? Many of you are tracking with me, and I thank you for that, because you're completing my sentences. You know what that means? When people complete each other's sentences, it's because they've been either married for a long time or they have such a great friendship with one another that they can just do that. You're welcome. Thank you for being my friends. So the question is, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, I told Jim Gozo this morning back in the hallway, I said, Jim, we've had a great, wonderful services over the last several weeks, and I am really looking forward to teaching today on the Holy Spirit, on the Holy Ghost. And so some of what you're going to get today might be a little bit different than what you might expect from me, might be maybe a little bit out of the current paradigm that I operate under. But I just have to tell you, I am very, very excited to teach about the Holy Ghost, to teach about the Holy Spirit and how and why it's important in our everyday life. So we're going to jump right in. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Ghost? Well, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. Listen, He is the co-equal and co-eternal Spirit of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit inspired Scripture and brings new life to the people of God. That is His role. That is His function. That's what He does. The Spirit of God is often portrayed in Scripture in terms of breath or life or wind, indicating His role in sustaining and in bringing life to God's creation. We see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We know the Spirit of God was present in creation because the Spirit of God is God, third part of the Godhead. We also know that when Adam was created in chapter 2, verse 7, that when Adam was formed and created, that God reached down and breathed into him the breath of life. The Hebrew word for that is ruach, and it actually means the breath of God. And so when Adam was created, the Holy Spirit of God was breathed right into Adam. He was breathed right into his nostrils, and God said that and Genesis says that he became a living and breathing thing when the Spirit or the breath of God entered him. What else about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is divine. As part of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit's attributes and activities are always those of God. Did you hear that? As the third piece of the triune God, the Holy Spirit's actions, characteristics, and activities are always those of God. He will never contradict what the Father or the Son has said or will say. The Spirit of God will always stand in agreement with God and the Holy Scriptures which He inspired. See, that's what we believe about this.
that the Holy Spirit inspired the men to write this, the words of this Bible. We believe it to be the inspired Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. And so maybe in your, what does that mean to us in real life? Well, sometimes when we're praying, sometimes we're going through a real difficult situation, and we feel like God is speaking something to us, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it is not the voice of God. We're praying about something. We feel like the decision that we need to make is A, B, then C. But A, B, then C does not line up with what the scriptures say to do in that situation. Then we know that that is not the voice of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never contradict His own word. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the characteristics of God. He will absolutely stand in agreement until the end of time with what God has spoken and what is written in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to empower, to comfort, and to be present with believers. God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. This was after the crucifixion. This was after the resurrection. This was after Jesus appeared in His glorified body, where He appeared to His disciples, nail holes in His feet and His hands, the scar in His side, His glorified body. He appeared to many. There were so many eyewitness accounts of God appearing in the flesh, appearing to His people. And then we have Pentecost happen in Jerusalem, just as Jesus promised that it would. And so who is the Holy Spirit? He was sent by God to empower and to comfort and be present with believers. I want to read something to you real quick out of the Baker Encyclopedia. It says, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And the word Spirit in Hebrew, ruah, in Greek, pneuma, is the word used from ancient times to describe and explain the experience of divine power working in, working upon, and working around men, and understood by the ancients as the power of God. The Spirit of God is directly related to the power of God. So we can accurately say today that the Holy Spirit is the divine power of God in people. That's what we can say. As we even read from ancient times, they believed that divine power was always linked to the Holy Spirit of God. And the same applies to us today. Why? Because Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the Holy Spirit is a witness of the truth and a witness of Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever, if the Holy Spirit always stands in agreement with what the Word of God says, then we must believe that the power of the Holy Spirit today is the same power that infused the church at Pentecost. We have to believe that. And so the same things that worked out in the church in the days of Pentecost and the early church are absolutely able to happen in the day in which we live. Jesus Himself said, greater things than these, then you will do. When My Holy Spirit is poured out on you, when it is poured out on all flesh, we must believe if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then His power, as evidenced by the Holy Ghost, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. You hear that a lot here at Landmark. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives inside of you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. The same power that allowed Peter to tell the lame man at the gate called Beautiful to walk is the same power that resides in you and I today. The same power that allowed Peter's shadow just passing by the sick to heal them is the same power that is in the believer's life today. And not always does the power work its way out like that. And that is also an earmark of the New Testament church. And it really is beautiful. Not everybody that we walk by with our shadow is going to be healed, nor should it necessarily be that way. But there's this thing called the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that allow us to operate in the Spirit. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so we're going to back up just a little bit, and I'm going to stop by saying this, that the power of the Holy Ghost is the same today as it was in the first century church. The same power that birthed the church, sustained the church, and operates the church today is the same exact Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God. That is who the Holy Spirit is. And that is the power that we have. What are some other things about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was promised by God. The prophets spoke to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Joel is maybe one of the more famous, where it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Hallelujah. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit." The Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God, was promised by the prophets. Jesus spoke to the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and John chapter 15, where we read words like this: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14, 15. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you." Listen to this: "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That was Jesus's promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he will be a helper. "The Holy Spirit will come from the Father, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that Jesus said." Jesus goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, when the Helper comes, whom I send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness about me because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus made no bones about it at all that somebody was coming after his departure. That somebody was coming, a comforter, a helper, a provider, a truth giver, a truth speaker, a person who would not leave them as orphans or abandoned, but someone who would be with them till the end of the age. God, or Jesus, spoke to the coming of the Holy Ghost and the power that would come with him. The Holy Spirit was sent from God. It was a promise fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and John chapter 3 are all references to this. In Acts chapter 2, the promise of the Holy Ghost is poured out on those disciples in the upper room. 250 of them, they hear this great, mighty, rushing wind. They see the cloven tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit comes and hear all these crazy people speaking in tongues. Crazy. Amazing. And then we've got all of these onlookers that are saying, "These people are speaking in my native tongue. They're speaking about the goodness and the greatness of God." Why were they doing that? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes in power. The Holy Spirit comes with fire and comes with wind and comes with life. And he comes with an intent to speak about, to witness to the great things of God. And he will use whatever means he has to proclaim that message to every tribe and every tongue, until every single person on the planet has heard the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Why do I know that? Because it was modeled when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the first place. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the power that is available to believers. That is the power that was not just for the Jews. It started with them in an upper room. And then in Acts chapter 10, we read about a Roman centurion named Cornelius who begs Peter to come. And Peter goes through this weird thing. Read about it in Acts chapter 10. He goes through all of that. He comes to Cornelius's house. He starts preaching the gospel to him. Cornelius is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, begins speaking in tongues. His whole family does the same thing. And Peter goes, "Huh, this is kind of cool." I mean, like literally, he says, "Wow, even the Holy Spirit has come on Gentiles." That was a major, major thing for that Jewish man to say. Why is that such a big deal? Because you're a Gentile. That's why. I'm a Gentile. That's why. If you are not Jewish by birth, you are a Gentile. And I'm so thankful that God poured out his spirit on all flesh, because I'm one of them all flesh. And I know that I am nothing without the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. And then Peter would go on to say, what's keeping these people from being baptized? And the whole household was saved and baptized and all of that kind of stuff. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost knows no bounds. It knows no bounds. It does not care about racial or ethnic boundaries. It does not care about the boundaries that people place on color or social demographics. The Holy Spirit does not care what you look like, whether you are small or tall or big or mediocre. It doesn't matter the hair color, your eye color, your skin color. The Holy Spirit has come on all flesh, as Joel prophesied, and he wants to fill his people with his presence and his power, the power of the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Which leads me to John chapter 3, verse 34, which says that God gives the Spirit without measure. The Holy Spirit is given without limits. The Holy Spirit is given in a limitless fashion. There are no lids or limits we could ever place on the power of the Holy Ghost. I hope you know that that is true. There is not a single time my thermostat can go out that the power of the Holy Ghost does not do something inside of me that says, Eddie, I've got this under control. I see you. I hear you. I know. I'm sorry you have to sit in an 85-degree house, but things could be worse. And quite frankly, you know what the word of the day, the verse of the day? Joy Colburn is, we're YouVersion friends. Ask her about that. YouVersion friends. YouVersion of the Bible pops up these verses of the day. You know what verse popped up that day? Rejoice always in every circumstance, because your trials produces character. And that, you know, verse I didn't want to listen to that day. And then the next verse on the next day was the similar verse. I will misquote it, so I won't say it, but essentially it said, rejoice always, even in adversity. The Holy Spirit knows no bounds. The Holy Spirit is perfectly limitless. The power of the Holy Ghost knows no bounds. The power of the Holy Ghost is perfectly limitless. And that is the power that drives the believer, or it should. That is the cord that connects us to the power source. That is why it is so important to keep the Holy Spirit involved in our life. The Bible says, walk with the Spirit and you will not gratify the things of the flesh. It says, stay in step with the Spirit and you will not get off track. The Bible is explicit when he said the Holy Spirit is for you, for your benefit, and he will give you the power to be and to do all that I have asked you to be and all that I have asked you to do. Well, how in the world does he do that in the day in which we live? That is an excellent question that I will answer in 5.5 minutes. How does that happen in the day in which we live? We call these things spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 hit on all of these things that we call spiritual gifts. I'm not going to read the entire chapter this morning. Romans chapter 12 will mention 7 spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will mention 9 spiritual gifts. And this is what Paul says about spiritual gifts. He knew that the Holy Spirit worked out his purposes and the plan that God sent him for through this thing called spiritual gifts. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now about spiritual gift, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. ESV says uninformed, and I like that word. I like that version up there. Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, you need to be educated. Concerning spiritual gifts, ignorance is not bliss. Concerning spiritual gifts, you need to be informed and you do not need to be ignorant. He says in verse 2, you know that, in verse 4, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. He said there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then it goes on to list these spiritual gifts. This is what we need to know about the spiritual gifts, is that they're all different and they're all applicable. And they're all necessary for the day that we live in today. What are some of those spiritual gifts? Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To one, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits or discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretations of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He, God, gives them to each one just as He determines. Every one of those gifts is vital. Every one of those gifts is important. Every one of those gifts has something that it will accomplish. And every one of those gifts is for the encouragement, the uplifting, and the forward movement of the Church of Jesus Christ. My dad has always said that in a service at Landmark, you will see so many gifts of the Spirit operating that if you were not to look at it, you wouldn't even notice. You know, the times when you feel drawn to go tell that friend of yours, I've been praying for you. This is what I'm praying for you. I feel like God just wants me to encourage you with this. You're going to make it. I'm going to lock arms with you. That was the gift of encouragement. That was the gift of exhortation. That was the gift of those two things that I said. I was getting carried away. I'm sorry. But in various other forms throughout an entire church service, you will see the gift of prophecy. We've seen the gift of tongues here. We've seen the gifts of exhortation here. Oftentimes, Sharina will give words of exhortation. My mom will give words of exhortation. Sometimes Colleen will come up and give a word of encouragement. All are gifts of the Spirit, given by the same Spirit, the same God, for the benefit of the church. And that's how the power of the Holy Spirit works itself out in everyday life. Well, what about me, Eddie? What about my life? Well, you know those times when you feel like grabbing your phone and you just got to text somebody because you've been thinking about them, quote unquote? Man, I've really been thinking about so-and-so. Well, what's happening is the Holy Spirit is giving you insight into what's going on in their world. And you think, man, I should just send them a text to say, I love them, I'm thinking about them, and praying for them. And so you send the text, and the response back is, dude, you have no idea what I was going through right now, but that spoke to exactly how I was feeling, exactly what I was doing. You were just operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works out in everyday life. That's how the person of the Holy Spirit empowers the believers and empowers the church. And so I'm going to fast forward a little bit, and where do I want us to land today? I've bitten off a big topic this morning. I've taken a huge bite out of a porterhouse steak, and right now I'm doing my best to chew it, and I'm drooling all over the plate. That's what's really happening. But it's just that good. It's just that wonderful. But where does that leave us today? Where does that leave us today? This is where that leaves us today. These are the things that I want you to leave with. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Ghost is real. And we cannot see Him. We cannot embrace Him. We cannot grab Him by the arm and beg Him to stay. But earlier I said sometimes a word that is equated with the Holy Spirit is the wind. We can't see the wind. We can't see the power of the wind. But I know that the wind is here every time it blows 3-tab off my roof with every windstorm we've had all winter long. I see the effect of the wind as it blows my fence over because it's soaking wet outside and the fence is falling and shingles are flying everywhere. You know, I see the effect of the wind. The Holy Spirit is the same way. We can't see when He's coming, but oh my goodness, we know when He has shown up. We cannot see what He's doing all the time, but boy, we can see the effect of when He has been present, and when we have chosen to be present in His presence, we can sure see what He has done. Why? Because the person of the Holy Ghost is real. He's living. He's active. He's working in us. He lives in us, and He connects us to the Father. His gifts are real. His power is real, and it connects us, as the Bible says, as one big body together. And we recognize that every part of the body has its function and its purpose. The finger operates different than the nose, and the ear operates different than the knee, and the internal organs operate different than the bicep and the foot, but they all work together to form the body. That's why Paul says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. If you speak in tongues, that's great, and you need to speak in tongues. It doesn't make you better than the person who has the gift of faith. If you prophesy, prophesy as God gives you the authority to prophesy, but it does not make you better than the one that has the gift of hospitality. That's what Paul's getting at. None of these gifts are to be held in higher esteem than any of the other ones. Why? Because they're all given for the benefit of the body, and they're all given for the benefit of the person, and they're all given by the same Spirit and the same God who wants us to walk in power and boldness as we proclaim the great and mighty works of the Savior. The Holy Spirit is real. I want you to leave this morning with this. The limitless power of the Holy Ghost is directly connected to the limitless power of God. It goes back to the power cord. They are one and the same, and it is that power that lives in us, that drives us, that empowers us to do all that God has asked us to do and to be all that God has asked us to be. The next thing I want you to leave with is this. We are all part of the body of Christ, as I just mentioned. Everyone who is a believer has a role to fill and a job to do. No one should think of themselves more highly than any of the others, because we all need each other. And when we get to that realization, and one of my favorite terms is this, is that when we are willing to lock arms with somebody and get sweaty and nasty and gross, because life sometimes is sweaty and nasty and gross, when we are willing to embrace the grossness of a brother because he's hurting and broken, that's when the body of Christ really operates well. When we're able to operate in adversity and in victory is when the body is at its prime. We need to be willing to lock arms with each other. I want you to leave with this today, lastly. There is power in the Holy Spirit. There is power in the Holy Ghost. Everyone who is a believer possesses this power. When we are powerless, he comes in with his power. When we don't know how to pray, he comes and he prays with us and he prays for us in sometimes ways we don't even understand. When we are timid, he comes with courage. When we don't know what to say, he gives us the wisdom to speak the right word at the right time in the right moment. When the truth is hard to find, he reveals it to us. He is our comforter. He is our companion. He is our friend. And he will never, ever leave us as orphans. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will never, ever abandon us on the journey, because that is not who the person of the Holy Spirit is. There is power in the Holy Ghost. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the person of God. And that is how we wrap up Limitless. I hope that you're able to take something and apply it to your life. If nothing else, that you would make a conscious effort every single day to say, God, I am your device. Help me stay connected to the Holy Ghost so that I can remain charged, fueled, and empowered by the source who is God. When we commit to that, all bets are off. The sky really is the limit, and we really can experience what it is to live a limitless life in Christ. Stand with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I'm so thankful that you kind of deposited this thing in my heart a couple of months ago, and that we were able to preach it and experience it and study it. When the rubber hits the road, God, I pray that each and every person that's heard even an ounce of this message would choose to be a spirit-filled believer of Jesus Christ who believes in the power of God and the power of his name. In this day, God, would you again give us an outpouring of your Holy Ghost? In this day, God, would you find vessels willing to be filled by the power of God? And let it start with me. Thank you, God, for your power, for your presence, and our invitation to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you for coming to church. Love on somebody this morning. Give them a high five, a handshake, a hug if it might be appropriate. And just love on somebody on the way out. You are dismissed this morning. We dismiss you with the grace and the peace of God.